Well, welcome. We are now entering into our third episode of our Aha Moments podcast. And so we're glad you're with us here today. We have two, as we do each and every time, two of our superstar teachers with us. And so we're going to unpack all the best strategies that work in our classrooms. And we're going to have a good time talking about teaching and learning all of our favorite subjects. So thank you for being with us. My name is Dan Evans, and I am our Chief Academic Officer with Pinellas County Schools.
And my name is Jolene Jackson, and I am the Director of Professional Development for Pinellas County Schools.
Well, we're excited to be with you. If you're not familiar with our podcast, Aha Moments, Celebrating Great Instruction, that's a new podcast with Pinellas County Schools, a partnership really with our Teaching and Learning Division and our Professional Development Department, where we said, well, what if we brought together teachers who are showing really great results in their classroom, really understanding mm-hmm. what they're doing well mm-hmm. and learn from them mm-hmm. and help to influence your practice as a teacher here in the school district. And so, Jolene, you ready to get started?
Yes, let's get this podcast party started. And who we have at our party today, I'm going to give them a chance to go around and introduce themselves. But we do have two of our rock star teachers who are here on the Friday, the week before winter break. We have one more week. They're here at 3:30 on a Friday. So I'm talking, we have dedicated teachers who are stellar with us today. So let's go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us where you teach, your name, and how long you've been teaching.
Hi, I'm Sharon Ambrose. I am a fifth grade ELA teacher at the amazing New Heights Elementary mm-hmm. in St. Petersburg. I've been in education for 21 years and love what I do.
That's awesome.
Yay.
Welcome, Sharon. We're happy to have you.
My name's Andrea Weaver, and I have been teaching for 29 years, all 29 years here in Pinellas County. The first 6 years, I was at Lakewood High School, and then I transferred to Palm Harbor University, where I have been since 1999. I teach 10th grade regular and 10th grade honors in our medical program.
Well, we're both very, very excited. Mm-hmm. Of course, we've met you before because we have regular convenings of teachers who have shown to have great practice. And so we specifically invited Sharon and Andrea here today to talk about a topic that I think you'll find very interesting, one that maybe new teachers struggle with, but we really have to master at some point. It's supported by research. It's supported by best practice. And that is student conversation, student discussion, student mm-hmm. collaboration. What do you want to say about that?
Yeah, great. And I think that it's really important to know that that is a high leverage strategy where we're going to get the best results for our student learning, and students go deeper with that. And a common thread that we have in each one of our episodes here on Aha Moments is teacher efficacy. And that is the belief that you make a difference in the student learning. And it's not just a belief you say affirmations every day, like, I am a great teacher, they will learn. It's you have great strategies that affect student learning. And therefore, that gives you the confidence every day to show up to work, knowing that you are going to implement these strategies, you've learned these strategies, you know that they work, and your students learn as a result of that. And you have great confidence, and your students have great confidence in their own learning. And so that's really what we're here is to share that. We often say confidence isn't a cologne. It's we do need to learn these strategies, and then we implement them, and we have great results.
So what are the high-yield teacher moves that we do in our classrooms? Maybe they've become very natural for you two. I'm sure they have. At one point, maybe they weren't natural, but now they have become mm-hmm. natural. And one of those is getting students to talk about content. So we're going to go to maybe Sharon first and put you on the spot and maybe talk about in a fifth grade classroom, right? What have you learned about how to get students to talk about content, have discussions, and learn from it?
I think first, in order for them to have the discussions, it has to be a safe place for them mm-hmm. to be able to have those discussions and make mistakes. So at the beginning of the year in my classroom, we often start with how mistakes are proof that we're trying. And mm-hmm. I think once we get from there and they understand that it's okay to make mistakes and it's a safe place to make those mistakes, they're more comfortable, you know, speaking out, raising their hand, or just being part of the discussion in general. So I think once this point in the year, we're past that and, mm-hmm. you know, the discussions happen pretty organically in the classroom. But there are strategies that I put in place at the beginning of the year that really sort of fosters us and allows us to get to the place where we are now, where it's, you know, organic discussions on the mm-hmm. carpet about the chapter that we're reading in the City of Ember or whatever the book may be at that time.
If it wasn't already said, both of our teachers here today teach really language arts or English mm-hmm. ELA as their subject matter. We didn't plan it that way, but that'll be mm-hmm. that'll be make our conversation really rich. So we hear you talking about students accessing texts like that. Mm-hmm. My question is a follow-up, and Jolene, I'm sure we'll have one, is, so you're saying that there may be some opportunities for them to practice even at the beginning of the year, some mm-hmm. ways that you want them to talk to each other. Talk to us about that.
So I set the expectations, and we take it very slow in the beginning. I set the expectations very clearly because they don't know me very well yet. I don't know them very well yet. So we set the expectations very clearly about what it looks like when we turn and talk, what it looks like when we have those discussions. Mm-hmm. We'll have discussion cards that we use in the beginning of the year, something that I learned from a previous school district mm-hmm. in there. So we use discussion cards that everybody has to participate at that point. So you can have on your discussion card that you have more to add. You can have on your discussion card that you have a question. You can have that you agree or that you disagree mm-hmm. with whatever the person that's speaking has said. And so in the beginning, we use those to really set the expectations and set things clearly that everyone participates. It's okay to make mistakes, mm-hmm. but this is how we do things in this classroom, and this is how we're all going to learn in this classroom.
Yeah, that's great. I think we are social beings mm-hmm. and we really are designed to interact with each other and we want to connect. Mm-hmm. But so often you teach fifth grade, and I'm sure even as they come up to you, there's been an overemphasis in public education. Sometimes we don't overemphasize it. No one, you know, here at this table overemphasizes that, but this overemphasis of the teacher speaking to the student and the students really listening and taking great notes. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but there is an element of getting comfortable with each other to communicate. And that's what you're really speaking about, is creating that community of learners. And sometimes you have to like, hey, in this classroom, I want you talking to each other and here's how we do it. And you've really set that up. Tell us a little bit about how you implement talking in your classroom.
So it's changed over the years. And I would say that it's changed because of cell phones and how we did things, you know, 15, 20 years ago aren't how we approach them now. And students are much more reluctant to talk at all, and not just in response to what the teacher is asking or the academic task at hand, but the bell rings and they come in and it's dead silent and everybody's on their phones and they're checking it. And then I say it's time to start and they put them away. And 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it just used to be chatter and you were asking them to be quiet and so that you could start your lesson. Now you're asking them to put their phones away to start talking. Mm-hmm. And for some students, that's a really difficult transition, and because they're used to being in their own bubble. So just like my colleague said over here, it's even at the high school level, getting them comfortable with speaking with each other. And they have more fears than maybe an elementary school student does about being rejected for my ideas, or someone's going to make fun of me. I don't want to be the person who raises their hand. I don't want to be wrong. So we do spend, even at the high school level, I spend time getting those students comfortable, acclimated to each other and the classroom before we even start talking about academic talk.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that connects, I think, both what you said, Andrea, and you, Sharon, is that sometimes we call those scaffolds, or again, back to just teaching them how to have the conversations. It may be unnatural, particularly in this day and age, mm-hmm. As a really good point, Andrea, or I don't know exactly what you want me to talk about, or how to corral my thoughts by the card you mentioned. So the idea of creating talk scaffolds that help mm-hmm. students know how to talk, that would be a really good help to teachers, I think. Right, Jolene?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think that what you're starting to point at is that I know ELA teachers are really famous for, and that is activating our student schema, and that they all come with a background of knowledge. And I think a lot of times the reason why we're shy is that we haven't given them an opportunity to integrate who they are into the learning environment. And I think that the most masterful ELA teachers really get that. So talk to us a little bit about how you activate student schema, how you allow their perspectives and their identity to start coming through, so that that comfortableness and building upon that knowledge and that scaffold starts to happen over time.
So one of the things we start with in my classroom is what I call the cultural backpack. Every person in the room has a backpack that they carry with them. And what is in your backpack may be different than what's in my backpack. And that the contents of my backpack affect how I interpret. It affects the lens that I read literature through. And we start by talking about what's in our backpack. And we make lists of the types of things that are in our personal backpack. And those are our interests and our sports and our hobbies, our ethnicity, our religion, our parents, our background, our gender. All these different things go into our cultural backpack. And that's where we start by identifying our similarities and our differences. Mm-hmm. And then we start to talk about literature and we start to talk about analyzing literature and why authors do what they do and how they do it. Well, I always rely back on the backpack. Well, what's in their cultural backpack that made them use those words? What is in your cultural backpack that is making you interpret the story the way you're interpreting it? And I think that the backpack is accessible. They understand that.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Sharon, about that?
I love that idea. I love that idea. And I think I do that on a much smaller scale or a simpler scale, so to speak. But I think we do look at it from a lens. I'm not as specific as you, but we do look at it from a lens. And when I scaffold, I do something similar. But it's also building their confidence to know that their ideas are valid and are good. And, you know, it's okay to share those. So I think that's part of it, too, is making sure to build that confidence, because I think sometimes they're not sure. And they're just, wait a minute, I don't know if I can really do this. So we spend a lot of time as well building that confidence that it's okay to share those perspectives. It's okay to share those ideas. And I want to hear them and I want to know what they are. So we get to that point a lot too with that confidence and just making sure that they know that they have that. Or I want to do it exactly the way you've modeled it, you know, and I to get them out of that, you know, thinking outside the box a little bit more sometimes. I have a few that started to do that and then I just build on that from there. You know, our group was thinking this, can we do it that way? And I said, can you back it up with evidence from the text? And they say yes. And I'm like, perfect, go for it. Do it, you know.
You know, one of the things I want to be clear about, I think I've said this a couple of times in this podcast and in the other ones, is the two teachers we have today, their results for the students who are coming to their classrooms on like state assessments and being proficient readers, and you both teach ELA, are really, really outperforming what you see around the state. So I guess my question for you is, when you think about getting students to talk in your classrooms, whether they're think, pair, share, whether it's whole, you know, small groups, how is it that that's helping them to read better or to process content better? How are they becoming smarter by talking? Who has a thought about that?
So one of the strategies that I like that I think is effective is that I pose the question, whatever it is, and I give them a sticky note and they have 1 minute to write their thoughts on a sticky note. And everybody at the table, and my room is grouped in tables of five, and everybody has an opportunity to write down their first thoughts. And once I call time, then they do a campfire and they fold up their sticky and they stick it in the middle. And once everybody has their thought at the campfire, time again, and it's time to grab an idea. And you have to grab a sticky that's not your own. You read it, and then you turn to your partner and you read the idea that's on that sticky note that isn't your own. Mm-hmm. And this person reads a sticky note that isn't their own. So the ideas are being shared, but they're not sharing their own ideas. And they're just, it's what's on the sticky note. It's not my idea, it's on the sticky note. So that kind of sheds the idea of someone's gonna think my idea is dumb or not right. And so it allows them a bit more comfort. So that's the first step is the campfire.
I love that. I love that suggestion. Any thoughts about that, how that applies in your classroom?
And I think so. I love that idea, too. I may steal that idea from you.
We're here.
Good teachers beg, borrow, and steal. It's similar. I think there's some similarities to the discussion cards that I start the year off with, where everybody has to participate and they have to agree, disagree, ask a question, or add more to it. So those are their four options. And then they call on each other. I don't do any of it. I sit back once I've taught the strategy and once I've taught the expectations. I sit back and they really do, you know, handle the discussion themselves amongst the whole class. And so we have a discussion and then they can add to the ideas. And then it's fun to watch them just build off of each other and really go, and they'll come up with things that I wouldn't have thought of. Mm-hmm. And I'm quick to say that to them too. Mm-hmm. I'm quick to say, wow, I hadn't thought about that one. I love it. I love your thinking. Let's keep going with that.
Wow.
That's what I love about releasing student talk to the students. Mm-hmm. Right. Is like when you hear what comes out of their mouths, sometimes my mind has been blown. I used to be a kindergarten teacher and we would be studying inferencing and then they would say something like, well, you know, I'm inferring right now. And I'd be like, whoa, I just saw a 5-year-old say inferring. And so you get excited because they start using language that that just really blows you away. And then because they're saying it, then their peers are hearing it. Mm-hmm. And that further reinforces that academic language that we want our students to have. And that reminds me of a strategy, and I think you talked a little bit about it before we started the podcast, is around incentivizing. Mm-hmm. And I've seen teachers before when they're using accountable talk and they have that specific academic language that they want the students to be using, they'll give praise or for like a word wall or a word bank that kind of helps keep the conversation going and tie the learning to the objective so that we really are solidifying that learning over time.
And I think it's important too when we talk about incentivizing at the beginning of the year. So I have little buckets with little tickets, part of our PBIS strategy. Mm-hmm. And I reward kids that don't give a right answer. Or what you might consider the best answer. And kids always look at me, well, but that's not what you said. I said, but you know what? He took the risk. Nobody else raised their hand. Nobody else spoke. He took the risk. He's getting a ticket. And put it in the bucket for later. And the kids see that there is no giant hole under their seat that swallows them up when they give a poor answer or not the best answer or a wrong answer. And it allows them to feel confident that it is okay to be wrong. Mm-hmm. It is okay to take the risk.
Yes. And for our listeners out there, I want to hear more teachers doing that, because this isn't about right or wrong. The strategy is to help shape our thinking. And if we are told, you know, only rewarded for right thinking, then we're not going to actually take a risk to shape our thinking. So more of that. Love that.
I love that too. And I would say that one of the themes I'm hearing as we think about teachers who are like, okay, I want to release the conversation over to students more, but I'm not quite sure how to do that. One thing I'm hearing is creating a safe space. Relationships always precede learning. And so a safe space, practice and scaffolds, which we've talked about today. You mentioned about getting all students to write first. Mm-hmm. So everybody has a chance to chime in and say something, and the conversation is not dominated by one student versus another. So these are all very intentional things that I hope our listeners are hearing that these two top-notch practitioners are using in their everyday work. So to that end, maybe one more question I want to get to before we talk about the research behind this is that the younger teacher, the new teacher, right, who obviously might be nervous about having students talk, or even how long that takes to have conversation go on, maybe the pacing and controlling that, whatever he or she's concerns might be, what advice would you have to that younger teacher about how to incorporate more conversation in the classroom? What have you learned through the years that maybe you didn't know at the beginning of your teaching career?
I think that, one, you just know that the learning, at least with fifth graders, and I think with everyone, the learning that they get from each other sometimes is way more powerful than anything they could get coming out of my mouth,
wow.
You know?
Wow.
And so I think once you recognize that as a teacher, and that they are, like fifth graders, they are more prone to listen to their peers than they are to me. So that, you know, that's where the learning is going to happen. And when you see it happening, it makes it easier to do it. Now, I'm a very structured person, so it is kind of hard at the beginning of the year to get that going, even as a veteran teacher. But it is, you know, once you've done it, you know, set the expectations and done it in a structured manner and you're consistent with it, they will follow along. They want to talk. They want to learn. They want to share their ideas at this point in the year. We're, you know, well into our routines and they know how things operate. And so releasing to them becomes much easier once they are, you know, handling the routines and getting the expectations down.
I would say for newer teachers, and I have three new teachers in my department this year. And so we've definitely had this conversation. And student talk needs to be intentional. You have to have a purpose for it. You have to deliberately give them a question. You have to have an expectation to get out of it. And you have to really listen to those side conversations and monitor the room. And you have to be listening. And you perfect the art of sitting in the corner pretending that you're not listening as you're listening, because you are hearing. And as soon as you start to hear the dribbles of conversation turn to a different topic about who's doing what for dinner or who's doing what for lunch and who's dating who, that's your cue that you've spent enough time on that topic and you're paying attention. And you say, okay, so we're going to wrap this up. You have 30 seconds left. Mm-hmm. Finish up your sticky notes and we're moving to phase two. Mm-hmm. So it's just that sixth sense that you have to be intentional about it.
I really, really appreciate that. And while we're on the topic of new teachers, right? Mm-hmm. Let us all give a shout out to all new teachers as they head into their first or second year teachers, they head into their break, because this really is our podcast about growing them, right? You guys are all master teachers. Jolene and I have been pretty strong teachers in our careers. But this is something we're doing to give back to teachers who are still trying to figure these things out. Right,
mm-hmm.
Jolene?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I actually, as you were both speaking, I had a memory that took me back to when I was in my student teaching semester and I was teaching and I was like the total sage on the stage and the kids were just, the classroom management actually got out of hand. And I remember the moment is like, okay, I need to get them to turn and talk to each other. I need to pull out a great question. And that it's actually, it was an aha moment for me that it's like, they're out of control. I need to get them back to talking about the content instead of listening to me, and posed a question. And like from then on, it's like done and done. A classroom management strategy actually is active engagement.
And then I'll connect that with an aha moment. You know, we have two ELA teachers here with us today, but really this conversation is in certainly in any content area. So for me, the aha moment was walking into a algebra classroom, high school algebra classroom, and the teacher was doing great, but the kids were never using that content vocabulary. Mm-hmm. They weren't, think about biology, any of the sciences, algebra, and all the mathematics, using content vocabulary, and in your subject areas too, we heard you speak about, allows that to cement into my own brain what that content vocabulary, because you're forcing me to talk about the content and maybe even misuse it, which we heard you say, Andrea, and make some missteps, but then repair my own thinking. Yes. What do you think about that, Jolene?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that is, in our next episode, we're going to talk a little bit about metacognition, but that's where, when we allow kids to have productive struggle, that's where we allow them to reshape their thinking. And if we don't hear their thinking, we're not giving them an opportunity to reshape it.
We're going to get to ask our guests one more thing, but I want to just remind everybody who's listening in that we want to bring research always into our conversation here. I think Jolene mentioned it a minute ago, is that these strategies are not only things that we've seen from practitioners, but they're really born out of best practice in a long history of our industry's research. We like to quote Hattie a lot in this podcast, and Hattie's effect sizes put classroom discussion and student talk right near the top. What did you want to say about that, Jolene?
Yeah, absolutely. So talk is a 0.82 effect size. And for our listeners out there who, and it's really not important that you understand effect size really, but anything above a 0.4 is going to make an impact on student learning. And so at 0.82, we know that this is a great strategy. This is almost double the, you know, what's threshold considered a great strategy. So you're really gaining... this is a high leverage, it's called high leverage strategy, high yield, because it is, you leverage the strategy, you're going to get big gains from your students.
Yeah, we hear that term thrown around a lot, high yield strategies, but the more you look at them and the way they work, the idea of getting the students to talk to each other, to have conversation. And by the way, we didn't get to today things like classroom debates, students moving around the room into four corners and having, there's lots of strategies to generate conversation. But if the conversation is around content, then the effect size is through the roof. And that's something we'd like our listeners to take away. We have to turn that conversation over to the kids and have every student chime in on what they think. even if we have to, again, as I said, repair their thinking because they've made a misstep, because that productive struggle is a big step in learning.
Absolutely. So we're now going to start to bring our time together and our conversation as a close. But before we do that, let's unpack and kind of grapple with a quote. And the quote is, "The one doing the talking is the one doing the learning." What does that mean to you?
It's 100% accurate if you look at anything in a classroom. I mean, the ones when they're talking to each other, they're the ones doing the learning. And when they're talking in general, or just even if it's answering something, a question, and it starts a discussion in the classroom, that's when the learning is happening. Me standing and talking to them, or sitting in my rocking chair talking to them and they're on the carpet, I can do that. But how many of them are zoning out? How many of them are thinking about, you know, who's dating who or what's happening in the classroom? Whereas when they're given the opportunity to talk, they will listen to each other much more than they'll listen to me oftentimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're the ones doing
that. Andrew?
And I agree. I agree. And I think that one of the best pieces of advice that I got as a student teacher was that every day they walk in my room, they should read a little, write a little, and talk a little. Mm-hmm. And then maybe a little bit of listening down there at the bottom. Mm-hmm. And so it's an intentional planning to make sure that those four things happen in my 47 minutes every day with those kids. And it's definitely something that's across all curriculums. And it's amazing when we do PD at the school, how helping those biology and those social studies teachers realize that they are also reading teachers, and they are also ELA teachers, and the grammar matters, and speaking matters, and reading matters across all of our disciplines. And it's a team effort to make sure that those scores are where they need to be.
Absolutely. Thank you for reminding us all of that. That's so important.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what I know. We talked about our mind blown. This is called the aha moments. I'm on the mind blown moment. I'm mind blown by this, the insights, the sage insights that you brought to our podcast today. Experience, your care about children, and your really interest in perfecting your craft. So, Jolene, I know you share my appreciation for you joining us today. Yes. We will continue to watch from afar and celebrate the great work you're doing in your schools. I know that the folks listening in are very much appreciative of what we learned from you today. So thank you for making the time. We hope you have a blessed holiday season. Jolene, I think we learned a lot today, Gary.
We did. So thank you. I just want to reiterate that I had so much fun. You know, at first we were a little nervous, like, where are we going to go right before we got started? But as soon as it started, it's just like we're all here talking about what we love, and that's teaching and student learning. So had a great time with you. Thank you for being here. And for our listeners, tune in for more aha moments. All right.
Thank you for being here. Thanks, guys. Thank you for being here, guys.